Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. When the plumber came, the dogs greeted him, each in their own special way. Both of them got up on the deacon's bench in front of the front windows, and so they had a good view of the plumber and his van in the parking area in front of the house. Fricka was barking her usual, somewhat demure, "It's the plumber. It's Paul the plumber, in his white van. We haven't seen him for a while. Oh, look, look, it's Paul the plumber." But Ollie now takes his protective responsibilities very, very seriously, so that if anything changes, he wants to be sure that I know. Unfortunately, he has what a friend of mine would describe as a most unfortunate voice. So when Ollie saw the plumber, who he does know, his response was something like, "Oh my God, it's the plumber! The plumber, the plumber, the plumber in the van, in the van, in the van. You know, the van, oh, look, he's out of the van. Where's he going? Why isn't he coming? Oh, he disappeared. He went behind. Wait, there's his toolbox. But oh my God, it's the plumber. Do you think he still smells like that black lab? Oh, where's he? What's he doing? Where'd he go? When's he coming in? Oh, where's he going? Wow. Oh my God. What? Did he disappear? Did somebody steal him? What the hell is going on? Where is he?" As you can imagine, this got Frick wound up even more, and since this hadn't been a particularly quiet week for me anyhow, I sort of lost it. My response was a very mature adult, "Quiet! You're driving me nuts!" And they stopped, and they looked at me, and they kind of looked at each other like, "Oops." And they jumped down from the deacon's bench and went and sat in front of the door and wagged their little tails. And Frick was quiet, and Ollie, being Ollie, whimpered. And his whimpering I can only translate as communicating, "Oh my God, it's the plumber. The plumber, he's coming up the door. When will he get here? Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I hope he's all right." Now, given my profession, and given the current training climate, I should have felt at least a twinge of guilt about yelling at my dogs. But I didn't. And I didn't feel any guilt several days previously when I almost ran out of food completely. I mean, I was down to vapors and crumbs of dog food because it had been so busy and all my work took me in the opposite direction from where I pick up the food that I didn't get the food. During this time, I thought blasphemous thoughts like, well, what can I feed him if I run out of the food? Should I buy, God forbid, regular dog food from the supermarket? Oh, wouldn't it be better just to boil up some rice for them? I mean, I have brown rice. I wouldn't just, you know, boil white rice. Oh, on the other hand, you know, the white rice boils a lot faster. So as I ran through this in my mind, I just kind of went through the shelves, kind of like I do when I run out of food. And it's like, okay, what's here? What can I feed them? And I should have felt guilty about that too, but you know what? I didn't. And I didn't feel guilty when I picked up the scissors and cut their hair. And it turned out that they don't exactly look perfect, but on the other hand, the hair is gone. These events all made me think of how much our relationship with companion animals is now dominated by guilt. By experts telling us that we should do this, that, or the other thing for our animals. And if we don't, that there's something inherently wrong about us. We're cheating them. We're being less than good owners. We're not qualified. We're going to have a lousy bond with our animals if we do that. Well, maybe I'm just defending myself, but I don't believe it. I honestly don't believe it. It's not true with kids, and I don't think it's true with dogs or cats either. They intuitively have a sense that the real world is not all positive. Things go bad. Sometimes we all cross the line, and when we do, it's a good thing that there's someone there who says, hey, knock it off. And sometimes we run out of that most perfect food. And it's good to know it's not the end of the world. The animals aren't going to die any more than we're going to die if we have to eat something that isn't organic or has been processed in some way. It's nice to know that. It's very, very freeing. All of a sudden, we're free to enjoy each other again.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.